up to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav. Chur Karpas Usecheles. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Chur, we are describing the lavish. Okay, Pasuk Vav is continuing to describe. Good morning, Rabbi Wilner. How are you? Missed you yesterday. Chur Karpas Usecheles. This Pasuk continues to describe the lavish display of wealth at the party that took place 7 days, the last 7 days of the banquet. We learned yesterday. Is that working? Should be working. No, it's not working. Now does it work better? Maybe turn up the volume. Let me turn it over here. Better now? How about now?
That's better.
Okay. Chor Karpasus Secheles. It's a little loud. Okay. Chor Karpasus Secheles. So we're continuing to discuss. There was a banquet for 180 days. After the 180 days, according to one opinion, there was another banquet for 7 days. And this banquet was for the people that lived in Shushan HaBiro. According to the Targum, we learned yesterday, this banquet was specifically for Klal Yisrael. It was to celebrate their. To celebrate, Achashverosh was rubbing it into Klal Yisrael that there would no longer be a Geula. The fact that the time has come and they have still not been redeemed, it's now been 70 years since the Golus of Yehoyachin and nothing has happened. It's an indication that they will never be redeemed. Now the commentators, I saw this in fact in the article, they take note that why is it that during the first 180 days there is no description of the Oyesher Kvayd Malchuso. It says back in Pasuk Gimel Bishnas Shalosh Malchosam Shalchol Sarav Avdav Chel Prasamodai Hapartimim the Shultainim the Sarei Hamadinos Lufanav Baharoso is Oyesher Kvayd Malchuso Yesekar Tefelos Gidloso Yamim Rabim Shmainu Maasiyom. It does not give any details. The only thing it says is that he displayed his Oyesher and the Yikar Teferis Gidulosso. It does not go into any details. Yet, when we come to Pasuk Hey, Uvim Los Hayamim La'ila, Osa Melech L'cholam Nimsim B'Shishan, Habiro L'Migadol Yarkatan Mishdeh Shavas Yamim, now, in this party that took place in the last 7 days, the 7 days that came after the 180 days, now all of a sudden we go into great detail to describe exactly what was displayed. The chor, the white, the linen, the karpas, the katin, the treles, the blue, all of these things, we go into a lavish description, pasuk vav, pasuk zayin, pasuk ches, three psukim describing exactly what happened. What about the first 180 days? Why is there no description as to the details of the banquet? So the answer is that it was no big deal for the 127 leaders of the Medinos to see such wealth. The first party that took place for 180 days was who was invited? Only the Chashuvim. Only the people that, you know, the mechubadim of the world. You had to be a VIP to be invited to that party for 180 days. So for them it was no big deal. They're used to this. So they saw now what was unique. The Bahara says, Oysher Kvayd Malchuso V'yesikor Teferis Gedulaso. But here, this party that took place for the last 7 days, according to the simple understanding, it was for the locals. It was for the people who lived in Shushan HaDira. That's what Pasuk Hei says. Who was the party made for? The simple folk. The people that lived in Bishushan HaBira. It was a political, like we learned yesterday, that Shushan HaBira was not a city of Malchus. It was just an ordinary village. The only reason why Achashverosh relocated his capital to Shushan HaBira was because the craftsmen were unable to transport the throne that was made in Shushan to Elam.
I mentioned this yesterday, but I wasn't here. But the Leia Reyer said that Cholmenei Amtina was a regular Suda. He didn't want to make a kin over there. It wasn't so lavish over there for the.
So this was more lavish.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one approach. Okay, that's one. But this is an issue which has to be dealt with. Why is it that the first 180 days there is no description, it's just general reference, but for this party of 7 days we go into detail, three psukim describing the great detail. So on a very simple, so one answer is that the answer I'm drawing from the commentary in the art scroll over here is that during the party for the last 7 days was only for the ordinary folk, the people that lived in Shushan Habira. He figured that it's a good idea, since I live in Washington D.C., in Washington D.C., so you make a party for the whole world, you have to invite the locals. Let them also, because if the locals are going to rebel against me, I'm in a lot of trouble. So for them, it was a novelty. Wow, they never saw such wealth. It was good politics, but the reason why we go into great detail was because of the novelty it was for the average person to see such things. The first party for 180 days, that was that the guests were from the dignitaries of all over, from the entire world, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal, so there's no need to describe the details. Along the same line, according to the Targum that says that the party for the last 7 days was specifically for the Klal Yisrael, for Am Yisrael. So here he was rubbing it in. Here the reason why we're describing all of these things was because all of these things, the Midrashim really don't elaborate. They just say the general idea. Each one of these items corresponds to something in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's hard to go into detail. On Tisha B'Av, there are two kinois which actually describe in great detail every single little detail of the Beis HaMikdash that was lost. Here we go into details and there is a correlation. There is a parallel. The Sheish, the Bahat, the Amudim, I mean, I don't know where you'll go, you'll match up the Amudim with the Yochan, the Boaz, and the Bahat, you'll match up with, I don't know how you match, but we're describing the deeds, since this party was specifically made for the Jewish people, in order to bring them pain and sorrow that your Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, and it doesn't appear that it's going to be rebuilt, and he wanted to rub it into them. We are going into great detail in describing every single little part of the party, because every part of the party really corresponds to a different element of the Beis HaMikdash. That would not have been relevant in the party that was for 180 days, because that had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. That was just a general display of wealth to celebrate the fact that he now rules the entire world.
And the Malbim makes a very, he says that the Kohen Gadol wore shatnez.
Oh,
so
okay.
So he says that this was, that he got them to do Averis by sitting, the chairs were all
shatnez.
That's why it says
Chur Karpas.
Right. They all sat on shatnez.
Chur is according to one term, is linen. It was linen, the mita. See, it says still the mitois were zav v'chesef. But he suggests that on top of the mitzvahs they drape the chor karpas of tcheles. Tcheles is certainly wool. Chor is pashas linen, wool and linen. And also the chavlevutz, the cords of linen was what would put everything together. Okay, so let's see. So that's just a basic hakdam to these three psukim. The details of the Beis HaMikdash corresponding, or these, it was a novelty to the common folk that saw all of these, this display of wealth. Okay, now the pasuk. Okay, let's see. Chur, karpas. Now, what are these things? What are these items? Chur literally means something white. Okay? Karpas is according to one of the commentators, it means a certain type of material which has a color of yellow. A yellow or green, a greenish yellow. Techeles is blue. So on one level, we're focusing on color. There was beauty in the color of the arrangement. Or we're focusing on different types of material. Chur is linen. Karpas, according to at least the article, I don't know where he gets this, cotton. And tcheles is wool. So three different types of natural materials were on display. Achuz, all of these things were put in position with chavlei vutz, with cords of linen. That's very expensive. Normally you use wool or cotton. Here the cords were made from linen. It's not exactly clear what these cords, how they these tapestries. They were held up through these cords of linen. The argaman. Argaman is purple. Also from what? Okay, there are a lot of midrashim that go into very.
The rollers and how.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see Rashi, and we'll try just to touch upon the Targum. I can't translate the Targum. We'll just try to draw a few words from the Targum. The argaman al gilili chasef upon pillars of silver. The amude sheish and pillars of marble. The gilulei and amude appear to be similar. Different types of pillars of silver, pillars of marble. Mitos, everyone had a bed made or a couch to sit upon that was made from zav chesav, gold and silver. Al ritzbas, the floor was tiled with bahat for sheish vidar v'soicharis, four different types of marble. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav says chur karpas uschos. What are these three things? The Rashi is very selective. Like as Rav Michal said, Rav Michal is the expert on Medrash. He wrote the translation. Rav Michal, yes.
Yeah.
Rav Michal. So that's here is the translator of the Medrash. We have here. I give you a new project. Maybe you can translate for us the Targum.
Only if they use the same word.
Okay, chur karpas
usacheles. Side by side comparison.
Midei begadim tzevoinim. So Rashi learns that the purpose of the Rashi's key word is tzevoinim, color. The goal here is color. Torah. Interesting. The Torah is very colorful. The Torah, very more often than not, focuses on color. The rainbow. The rainbow, the keshes, is multicolored. The chut hasikra on the mizbeach is red. Tzilin have to be black. Or else we have color in halacha. Okay, we have the shoes. The shoes that they wore in the time of the midbar were made from the tachash. The tachash is sos go. Sheish, I've got the Targum translates. It's a multicolored garment. Okay, so in Chazal there are the Kohen Gadol. He wears tcheles, argaman, tolashani. The Torah is not black and white. In the Torah there is a lot of mention of color, and here is exactly what the purpose. The first detail that we describe, Rashi focuses upon, is not so much the material. Rashi's emphasis is the color of these materials. Mine begadim tzevoinim peras lachem, he spread for them lematzos hashitz achuz b'chavivutz v'argaman midukamim b'psilei butz. Now Rashi translates the word achuz. Okay, this is something which is subject to debate. Achuz, he translates mirukamim. There was embroidered. It's not a matter of support. It's not a tapestry that's being suspended upon a pillar held by cords of linen. Rather, the embroidery was done with cords of linen, the argaman, purple, period. Also, these type of garments of color that were embroidered with boots, the argaman, was Osan Paras Lohen al Gilil Chasef. He spread out upon Gilile Chasef, rollers of silver, Viamude Shesh, two different types of pillars of silver, of marble and silver. Next words of Rashi, Mito Zohov Chasef, Orach Leshev Alehen, he arranged for the people at the party to sit upon them, Lesuda for the meal. Al Ritzpas, upon a floor. Karka Oshel Bahat, the karka, the floor was tiled with Bahat Vashesh, four different types of stones. Mine Avonim Taivos Perishu Rabosenu, Ulufima Shmo Samikra Kach Shemam, according to the civil interpretation of the Pasuk, that is what their name. I saw, according to one interpretation, that the word Sochores, not like Rashi, is not a stone, but it was a light, like a Sohar. So they exchanged the Ches for Hay. The ches and the hail, the oisya sam is chalfos, and sahar is one of the words for the moon. And it was a certain type of magical stone which they suspended in order to provide light. We think that we have technology today, that we have electricity and we know what light is. It could very well be they had technology in those days that was superior to what we know. And obviously if this party went on for 180 days, they needed light in the evening. So what did they do for light? So it says here they had ritzpas, a flow of bahat v'sheish, and then vidar v'socharis, according to the Medrash appears, it was some type of exquisite lighting that was used to provide illumination for the people sitting at the party. Sahores comes from the word sahar, and dar also could be some type of a precious stone which absorbed light during the day and at night gave forth, like we have in the Teva. Tsoihar tasela Teva, it was a stone, and the stone provided light for the people living in the Teva during those 120 years. There's some way there could be this technology. There has to be that in ancient times there was technology that's been lost from us. There's no question about it. We think we have it all, but there are secrets that we do not know. Okay, now, there's a very good var. This var made a nice impression upon me. The word chor. The word chor is spelled here with a capital ches. A large ches. Why is there a large ches for the word chor? So there are many interpretations. The one that stands out for me is chor refers to the large ches is referring us to a person by the name of chor. Who was chor? He was Moshe Aaron v'chor. During the time of the eagle, who was chor? How was he related to Aaron? How was he related to Aaron chor? What?
Brother-in-law?
Okay, could be brother-in-law. Chor, at the time of the eagle, Chor objected to the making of the eagle. When he objected, Klal Yisrael murdered Chor. He was killed. And only because he was killed, Aaron saw that he had no choice. Aaron said, if they're going, they just like they killed Chor, they're going to kill me. And that would make, if they would kill...
back now, God would have no choice but to punish
Klal Yisrael, because it would be the murder of the Chacham and the Kohen. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, Hur was the Chacham. He was the replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days. If they would kill Hur and kill Aaron, then it would be impossible for Klal Yisrael ever to achieve tshuva. So Aaron felt he was compelled to participate and to assist, or at least to try to delay the making of the Egel. Hur was killed. Hur was killed because he protested the making the sin that was about to take place. Chazal are very clear. The reason why Klal Yisrael in this generation they were on the brink of destruction, of genocide, was because Shenenu Me'oso Seuda. The Gemara asked the question, why did Klal Yisrael deserve Kaloya, destruction, during the time of Haman? It's because Shenenu, they had benefit, Me'oso Seuda, from this meal that was that the 7-day party that was made to celebrate the Churban, the Golus of Klal Yisrael. Who was the one that objected to the Jews celebrating and participating and deriving benefit from this party? Mordechai HaYehudi. Did the Jewish people listen to Mordechai HaYehudi? No, they did not listen. They repeated the same sin as what happened at the time of the Chet HaEgel. Just like at the Chet HaEgel, there was a desire to rebel against Hashem. Moshe is gone. It's been 40 days. Hashem has abandoned us. 40 days ago, we received the Torah. And Moshe's gone. It's over. It was a one-time event. Basically, Golus has begun. And there's no point anymore in being observant and keeping the Torah. We might as well celebrate. We might as well have an Egel. And we'll have dancing, we'll dance around the eagle, we'll celebrate. Chor gets up and says, you're out of your mind. Just because it's now a time of Hester upon him, there's no one here, Hashem's presence is not felt, does not give you the right to celebrate, to sin, and celebrate your the Hester upon him, the Golos. They didn't listen. And what did they do? They murdered Chor. Here, the same exact sin is being repeated all over again. It's a time of Hester Panim. 70 years have passed since the Golos Yehoyachin.
Chor was Miriam's son.
Chor was Miriam's son. Miriam's son. So it's now 70 years since the Churban day, since Golos Yehoyachin. And the Mashiach and the Geula has not come. It's just like this moment Klal Yisrael was sensing the same exact thing as Moshe Rabbeinu being away for 40 days. Moshe said 40 days. He's not back. He's dead. It's over. Klal Yisrael, there's no hope for Klal Yisrael. Hashem said, after 70 years, I'm going to redeem you. Where's the gula? It's been 70 years. Tonight's the anniversary. This was the anniversary, according to you make the calculations. The calculation was the anniversary of 70 years since Galus Yehoyachin. Where's the gula? There's no hope. So you know what? We might as well enjoy. We'll go to the Suda. We'll worship. We'll do. We'll be nene from the all of the averos that are taking place at the Suda. We'll celebrate. Mm-hmm. It's exactly. And who's protesting? Who's telling us? Who's the conscience of Klal Yisrael? Mordechai. Mordechai is telling them, you're out of your mind. Just because the Gula has not yet come, it doesn't mean that you don't know how to make the proper calculation. Did they listen to Mordechai? No. They didn't kill him, but they ignored him.
And he was one of the Sanhedrin. So.
He was one of the Sanhedrin. They ignored him.
He was the God of Hadar.
They ignored him. They, by ignoring him, they were mevaze him. They were repeating. History is being repeated here, mila by mila. And therefore, when we begin to describe this party, which Chazal clearly defined as the source of why they were chayef, the Gezar Din was handed down in heaven, that they be destroyed in this generation, l'hashma l'haru gulab, it's kol ha-yehudim, it's because shenenu mi'osa suda, and there was a person, and the reason why they were nenu mi'osa was because of the calculation. They realized that the calculation, the 70 years has passed and nothing has happened, and Mordechai is telling them, don't you dare, and they're ignoring Mordechai. It's a repeat of exactly what happened at the Egel with regard to Chor. And therefore, to emphasize this point, the Megillah was cleverly written by Mordechai v'Esther with a large ches. It doesn't just mean linen, fine white linen was spread for the party. It means the sin of Chor is repeating itself all over again. Okay, this is a very beautiful idea I came across in one of these svar. What? That's exactly what this is. It's time. Think about it. It's exactly the same thing. It's 40 days, 70 years. Exactly the same concept. What are they celebrating? Hester Panim, Hashem has abandoned us. We might as well embrace the Egel. Worship in the Egel is embracing the culture of the secular world, the pagan world. Coming to the Suda means we accept that the new power in the world is Achashverosh, the Persian government. This is going to be the new leader of the world. Will embrace the culture, and Vayikumu Litzachik. It's exactly the same thing all over again. Okay, that's one thing. Another interpretation, another medrash. The medrash says the reason why there's a large ches is every time we have a large letter, it's directing us to go back to the first time a letter or a concept appears in the Torah. The first time the letter ches appears in the Torah is the word choshech. And this was the great moment of darkness for Klal Yisrael. When they entered into this lavish party and they saw the splendor to celebrate their destruction, Shenenu Mi'osa Suda, the greatest degree of darkness came down upon this world, and it was decreed, as we mentioned, Choshech, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ula'abed. This was the moment when the Gezerah was handed down from Shemayim. It just took some time until it came to be. It was implemented through Mordechai, through Haman and Achashverosh, but the Shenenu Mi'osa Tchila, the Darga, the depth, the thickness of darkness, darkness now descended to the world. Another interpretation, Chor means a hole. Chor, like Nikavim, Nikavim, Chalulim, Chalulim. That's not the same word, but a Chor means a hole. It's a different word. Sorry, I made a mistake. It means a hole. Chor means a hole.
Chor.
Chor is a hole. This is a medrash. It's the same idea. At this moment in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he bored a hole from this world to Gehenim. The heat and the darkness and the heat of Gehenna now penetrated this world because of the chait of Klal Yisrael in being nene me'oysa suda, embracing, celebrating vayikumu letzachik, their own chorban. Okay, it's all what?
Yeah, the party is a trap for
it was a trap. That
like,
was his,
like saying opening a trap.
Yes. That was the kavana of Haman. Haman was of Mordechai, of Achashverosh, to trap Klal Yisrael. It's now been 100. It's now been 70 years, and nothing has changed. And according to some of the calculations, I we went through some calculations yesterday. But I just to make another point, I don't know the numbers, but 180 days. Some make the calculation that it started with Rosh Hashanah, and it ended on the seventh day on the or the you know the eighth day, the eighth day, 180 days is the eighth day of Nisan.
Oh, I don't. Plus the seven, including
No, now is plus the seven, which comes out that this party took place on Pesach, the night of Pesach. So how do you get, if all the months have to be chaser? I don't know exactly the calculation, or it started a little bit later. There are complex calculations. There are complex calculations of how. Oh, I think I remember now. Maybe could be I remember. Okay, the party was simply 180 days, then another 7 days. But I think they are in the Diyukim and the Psukim that it says there was a introduction to the party, because it says when the party began, Yomim Rabim Shmoinim Ma'asyom. Okay, here's the gist of the Vort. I don't have it in front of me. This is the Sarasim Medinos. This goes back to Pasuk Dalid. It says at the end of the Pasuk, Shmoinim Ume'asyim, 180 days, but it's preceded by two words, Yomim Rabim. Yomim means Lashon Rabim, at least 2 days. And Rabim has to be maybe, I think Rabim is another ribui in the Pasuk, which means even 3 days. So Yomim is two, Rabim is three. Because Rabim has to be more than Yomim, 5, and then 180 days. So it's 185 days. This number is cited in the Medrash. Michal, you ever heard of this? Yomim Rabim Shmoinim Umeas Yom. Doesn't mean 180. 180 plus Yomim 2, plus Rabim 3, for a grand total of 185.
I don't think it's mentioned here.
Okay, 100. Now, after the 185, start another party for 7 days. If you begin on Rosh Hashanah and you go through the calendar 185 days in a regular year, where you have to make the calculation of how many months are chaser and are mole, you will result the day that will come out to the 8th day of Nisan. 185 days starting from Rosh Hashanah takes you to the 8th day of Nisan. Now, on the 8th day of Nisan, 7 days, takes you to the 15th day of Nisan, which is by Yom HaShvi, on the 7th day was the night of Pesach. So what this party that's going to culminate on the 7th day, on the night of Pesach, was the anniversary. That's a very important point we're going to come to in a few moments, is when Ahasuerus calls for Vashti to appear in her presence.
Vashti's
Yahrzeit. That's right. Exactly.
It sounds like 3 days started
Pesach. It started, right.
Esther,
right. So it makes a lot. Then a lot of things come into it. I'll give you just one other thing. Just foreshadowing. When Ahasuerus was upset that Vashti did not arrive, he called for the Chachamim Yodei Ho'itim. Why did he call for the Yodei Ho'itim? He wanted to know that according to Jewish law, maybe, because again, this whole party, according to the Targum, was all calculated to celebrate the downfall of the Jewish people. Therefore, it had to be based upon their calendar. And their calendar begins with Nisan. He wanted to make sure that the previous year was not an Ubiyar. Because if it was a leap year, then this really would have been, the 15th day of... It would have been the 15th day of Adar Sheni. What is the 15th day of Adar Sheni? Shushan Purim. Where was the party, by the way? In Shushan Habira. So that really answers one of the most mysterious questions about the end of a Purim. Why do we celebrate Purim on
other
bays? Besides other bays in Echnami, it's right. Other bays with Semech Ulagula. But why do we celebrate in general on the 15th day? What is the significance of the 15th day that from all of the various days?
The moon is on this.
On the 15th day. The miracle, when were they Oymed al Nafsham? The war was not on the 14th. It was not on the war was
Shushan, they did it another the next day.
It almost sounds like they started with a conclusion and now they're trying to work backwards.
But there is something to it. The party took place. The party. This is an important point. The party took place according to, not all, but according to some of the commentators, on the night of the 7 days, started on the 8th day, and of Nisan, and concluded on the 15th day of Nisan. And the way we come to that number is very important. Diuk in back in Pasuk Dalid, Shmoinin Umeas Yom is 180 days, which is preceded with two critical words, yonim rabim. Yonim is beloshon, rabim is two. Rabim means many, which means it has to be at least one more than yonim for three, for five, which means the party was 185. Make the calculation, you'll take note that some of the months are choser, are lacking, are only 29 days. So it's not going to be 6 months, it's not exactly 180 days. 185 days will take you to the 8th day of Nisan, plus another 7 days, and that takes us into the night of Pesach. Night of Pesach is also the anniversary, we actually say this in the Piyot, on Pesach, the anniversary when Belshazzar, the father of Vashti, was killed by Daryavesh HaMadai, which means it was the yard site. It was the yard site of her father. The day when Achashverosh demanded that Vashti appear before her naked in front of all the people was on the yard site of her father. So in fact, the Midrashim say that she said, when Achashverosh wanted to save her, he said, maybe the reason why she did not come is because it was the yard site. And even though, and by Goyim also, there was such a thing that you don't go out and celebrate on the day, the anniversary of death. Achashverosh was, we'll see soon, was searching. He wanted to save Vashti. He really did not want to kill Vashti. He had a weakness, and it was only Memuchan that pushed it through. Memuchan, who we know to be Haman.
It also could possibly be that, let's say, Mordechai could have been one of the advisors.
Yeah.
But because it was Yom Tov, he was not.
Well, the Gemara Chazal said that they asked the Sanhedrin, and they said it's a no-win situation. If we're going to tell them to kill Vashti, we'll get there. Right. Okay, let's see. So this, so let's go back to Pasuk Vav. The Pasuk Vav begins the party. We have the Chesed, the large Chesed. Either it's Chor, the person. Chor means a hole into Gehenim, or Ches means Choshech, the first Ches towards darkness. This pasuk opens up the beginning, and also it's important, another reason, this really to some degree is the beginning of the Megillah. I mean, there are many beginnings. As you go through the Pesukim, we mentioned the first pasuk, what is the significance of the first pasuk, the second pasuk, but pasuk Vav is another very significant beginning of the Megillah, because it is in this pasuk where in Shemayim they were watching, and it was handed down the Gezerah, that Klal Yisrael will come to an end because Shenenu Me'osa Suda. When you begin a Sefer, you begin it with a capital letter. You begin it with a big letter. So Pasuk Vav is telling us now the Megillah begins. There's a large Ches, the Megillah starts, because here, as the Targum says, the Jewish people are entering into this party. They're being Nene Me'osa Suda. Now begins the Chorban, and that's the purpose of the Megillah. The purpose of the Megillah is to show this, this, how we were able to overcome the tzara through Lech Kenoses Kol Ayhudim and be Mevatel the Gzera. Okay, now the Targum. Yeah.
This is not one of the opinions.
As well, what not open.
Where do we? Where should the Megillah begin?
Well, that's the question. Where do you begin to read the Megillah? Mm-hmm. Okay, there are many different issues. There are issues of when do you begin to read the Megillah? Where does the Ikar Nes begin? Balayla Hahu, Einachnami. But this is a significant starting point in the Megillah, at least in the big picture, and therefore there's a large Ches. Here is where the Megillah really begins. Until now, everything was just introduction, because here is where the Gezer was handed down, and now the role of the Megillah is to overcome this Gezerah. Okay, now.
Karpas.
I wasn't proud of it.
Yeah.
But if it's a Einish that they did something,
yes.
It, it, it,
Why does it reflect on everybody? It's only that door and that location. By Mitzrayim, they didn't do anything.
You're touching upon
causing the punishment.
Okay, I came across something that's very, very frightening. You're touching upon a very good question. The Gemara asked the question, why this Gemara was talking to Megillah, I don't know what daf it's on towards the beginning. Why were the people of this generation chayiv to what went wrong in this generation? So there was a discussion among the Amoraim. I don't remember the names of the Amoraim. One said was because the first opinion was because they bowed down to the Tselem of Nebuchadnezzar. We're going back to the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he made for himself this massive statue of himself, which was Avodah Zarah, and he demanded that everyone bow down. Daniel escaped. Daniel, he knew what was coming, so he ran away. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were there and they refused to bow down. But everyone else bowed down. Now, I don't know. There is a Targum. And the Targum makes a calculation exactly who bowed down. And the conclusion is 20 people bowed down. The only people that were there were representatives of government. It wasn't that they had the whole world. Nebuchadnezzar invited representatives of every government, every country, to 20 people. So Mefarshim asked the question, just because 20 people bow down, the whole Klal Yisrael has to suffer? We don't find... So the answer they give is, and this is a controversial answer, when it comes to Chilul Hashem,
right,
even a Yechidim who Machal Shem Shmaim Befarhesia, the whole Klal Yisrael suffers. The whole generation was nigzar upon them, Kaloya, destruct. The work concludes that they were...
That's what they're finding now with Harabayas. The same thing, that the Yechidim Yechidim
Hashem,
and that's why the Arabs are trying to kill us. That's what they're
finding. Harabayas is a very complicated... Let's not go there.
There's a parallel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because only
a small amount, right.
Everybody was...
Generally, Chazal...
Letting it happen. Right.
Or the Meraglim, the 10
only
people.
Everyone cried, but the Meraglim, the Meraglim was not so hard, because by the Meraglim, the whole Klal Yisrael cried. The whole Klal Yisrael accepted the report, and they accepted it. Here, by bowing down to the statue, there were 20 people. Now, you'll tell me, well, the 20 people represent the moral climate of society. That's what the answer you'll give, right? So if these 20 people were willing to do it, they're just a reflection of what's going on in the hearts and minds of the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's true, but not 100%. It's not 100%, because generally Chazal are very easygoing. Ish b'cheto yumos. Just because one person does an avera does not mean someone else has to suffer. But when it comes to Chil Hashem, there's a different standard. There's a different standard. Whether you want to say it's because one person in the Chil Hashem reflects the moral climate of society, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe just the fact that one person does an aver Mechal Hashem Shem Befehesia, there are consequences. There are consequences for the entire Klal Yisrael. All right, let's go further. So we have over here this pasuk, all these different descriptions. Pasuk Vav. Now I'm going to try to read over the Targum. I do not know. I'm warning you. I do not know. I searched unsuccessfully to find a translation. I was spoiled. For the last two Megillos, I had the translation from the Sorasi Bamedinos, a beautiful translation of the Targum for Eicha, Rus, and Koheles. Here in the Sorasi Bamedinos, he chose to translate the Targum Sheni. Targum Sheni is massive. It's massive, and a lot of the stuff in Targum Sheni is not even really related 100% to Megillas Esther. I don't know why he did that. He did that, and that's where he develops
Targum Sheni.
So that's a very big mystery. Who wrote the Targum Sheni? There are two Targumim. So some say, you know, when we learned Eov, there was something called Targum Yosef. Remember that? It was called Targum Yosef. Some say that it's called Targum Yosef. Some say it's called Targum. It's really Targum Yerushalmi. Some say it's... In his Hagdama, he has a long list of all the different names that the Rishonim used to describe Targum Sheni. Okay, we're not going to focus on Targum Sheni for the main reason. A lot of Targum Sheni is not related to Megillas Esther. Targum Sheni uses Megillas Esther as a springboard to bring together Kol HaTorah Kulo. And that's not our goal here. Our goal over here is to focus specifically on the Megillah. So we have here Targum Rishon, it's called this, by default, this has become Targum Rishon, which seemingly many say it's Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. They want to ascribe this Targum. And unfortunately, I have not yet given up. I've been unsuccessful in finding a similar translation, because for me to go look up all these words would take me forever. And I can't do it. But in the meantime, we'll just try to read the Targum the best that we can, because there are certain things that we can, obviously, that stand out. And whatever doesn't stand out, we'll just pass over. Pasuk Vav, Umin ilana li ilana havu pirison yiri on devot. Now notice, the Targum is telling us that Pasuk Vav is a continuation of Pasuk He. Because in Pasuk Hey, we learned that that this party took place in the Chatzar Ginas Bisan HaMelech. So I try to tell you that Pasuk Vav is a new beginning. It's describing the great wealth. And Rashi, in fact, says that Pasuk Vav really has nothing to do with Pasuk Hey, but the Targum appears to say that it's a continuation, because since the beginning of Pasuk Hey, it told us that the party took place in the garden. In the garden, there are two different types of the orchard and the garden. The garden, there are vegetables, and in the orchard, there are trees. So in between, in the garden, in between the trees, they hung up, Havi Perisan Yirion, was sheets of devuts of linen. Gavon, the color of linen was, Chivar was white. Besapirin, and it was studded with gems. Does not say that in the Pasuk. Kechur karpas, ucherasnin seems to be techeles. I do not know what the translation for karpas is. Karpas, some say it means, it's not clear if it's katan. The art school for some reason translates karpas as katan. But it appears that other midrashim disagree.
That's right.
What?
Yeah.
It's not katan.
Fine katan.
Fine katan, that's the art school. Yeah. But other times, from the midrashim, it appears that it's not. It's a silk. It's some type of pillow. Kar pas. Kar is a pillow, and pas is a word that refers to silk. A certain type of silk pillow stuffed with soft things. The sichla, that's tcheles. Achidon, were held together. Okay, notice, not like the parish of Rashi. Rashi translates the words achuz as embroidered. The Targum disagrees. Targum says, Achidon, they were held together by Ashley Mitachsin, with cords of Mitachsin. It doesn't say what that word is. Tzivion, that were dyed the ear givona with purple. Argamon. Dilion, with purple, I don't know what Dalion, I think Dalion means it was hung. Alavei un kalva d'chsaf. It was hung upon, it appears where this pillar, some type of pillar. Hooks? Okay. Oh, so very good. Gilili, that means hook. Okay, that does not mean what we learned until now. It means a pillar. It means a hook. Un kalvan d'chsaf of silver. Udisharyon. And it was a... Sharyon. Karpas is green, that's right. Karpas green.
Oh. Just looking
that up. Krasny means green. Okay, so that's karpas is green. Chur is white, karpas is green. Sichla is blue. Achidon ba'ashle mitachsin, that was hung upon, that was held together with cords of mitachsin. Mitachsin is linen, I guess. That's butz. Sivion be'ar givona, that was spun. Dyed with purple, dalyon held alavei un kalvon dichsaf, held upon, suspended upon hooks of silver, udisharyon segal galin dichsaf. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. Some
silver
type of
wheels.
Silver wheels. Kifison alavei amudei mar mirin. Okay, what does that mean? Kifison. Samkin. Let's just go through. Samkin yarkin. It was colored green. Uvarkin.
Marble.
Wait, which word is marble?
Marmarin.
Which word is marble?
Marmarin.
Marmarin is marble. Pillars of marble. Samkin, that were colored. It's adding the color of yarkin green. Uvarkin, umoyrikin, vichivarin, oisiv, yasoin, alave, arson. Okay, I'm not sure what these do, but just the melosin, dimaschon. Vial dar geshin din nakli tehoin did the havotov. Okay, this refers to the couches. The couch were made from gold and silver. They had elaborate couches to sit upon. The char ehon, the chsaf, and the heads of these couches were made from gold. The legs were made from gold. Shar yon al sitov, silver, that was hung upon, supported by sitov. Sitov means a bench of kivish, kur sitoligin, umar mirin, vidura. Okay, let's just leave all this. V'itunin, v'tzarin, makfin, lochoin, chazur, chazur. Okay, whatever this is.
Shachar. Again, it's a crystal.
And it's Shacharis is obviously translating that it was circular. Shachar, Shachar. Chazur, Chazur is, Lashon of Shachares is to go in circles. Okay, whatever this, I don't know. We'll leave this for now. We're not going to get anywhere. Let's leave it now. Okay, it's just a description, a live description of the extreme wealth of Achashverosh and the party that was prepared for the Jewish people. Pasuk Zayin. Let's move forward. The Ashkois Bichlei Zahav, the drinks were served. Rashi will in the scene in a moment tells us that the word is not precise. You have to really read the word as if it says Ule Hashkois. The command was given that their drinks should be served. Drinks were served Bichlei Zahav in golden utensils, which is not a good thing. You don't serve wine in golden utensils, it spoils right away. You serve wine in either silver or you serve in earthenware utensils. But he served in the gold utensils, the chelim, chelim shanim, and the chelim, this means there were no two goblets that were identical. The ashiris wasn't made in a factory, in an assembly line. Okay, an assembly line, you're a cookie cutter. The goblets were not cookie cutter, come of a cookie cutter of a factory, assembly line. Each utensil was unique, an enormous display of wealth. The Yein Malchus Rav, and simply this means the wine of the kingdom was abundant. Kiyad HaMelech, without limitation, an expression in Kiyad. Now let's see Rashi right away, he explains in more detail. The Hashkois Bichlei Zahav, Kamo LaHashkois, read the Pasuk, Ule Hashkois. The command was given that wine should be served in golden utensils. Shainim, Mishunim, Zemizeh, there were no two utensils that were identical. V'chein v'dosehem shoinois. Rashi here is making a reference to their laws are different. Now, Kubi Rashi is al derech drush, is trying to say everything about this party was rubbing it into the Jewish people. Every single element of the party, we totally glossed over Pasuk Vav, all the different items, but it all went to the celebrate their destruction. Rashi here is telling us, just like you Jewish people used to be different, Vidas Sehem, Haman will say this to Achashverosh, your laws are Shainais Mikolam, so too I'm coming here to celebrate that this is now coming to an end. You're going to drink away the fact that you're different than the rest of the world. Okay, there's a lot of poetry here. There are lessons. What Rashi seems to be saying is Achashverosh was telling the Jewish people, drink away the fact, celebrate the fact, that this that you until now in this point in time in history were different than the rest of the world has come to an end. The utensils are different than one another, and those utensils you're going to use to drink, to consume. It's over. You're no longer special. You're just part of the regular world. There's nothing unique and special about the Jewish people anymore.
One among many. Was different. That means everybody.
You're not special. You're nothing special. This then. What did Haman say to Achashverosh? V'dosehem shonos. They stand out to a degree of uniqueness. No more. Finished. You drink away the fact that you were shonos. Okay, now, Rabbeinu Darshu Masher Darshu. Now, what does this refer to? This is Gemara in Masechta Megillah. The Gemara there says that he was a fool. Achashverosh was a fool. He made the same mistake that Belshazzar made. Achashverosh knew very well that Belshazzar, a number of years ago, took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and celebrated the downfall, the churban of the Beis of Klal Yisrael, because he made a calculation that it's been 70 years since the time that Nebuchadnezzar conquered Nineveh conquered the kingdom of Ashur, and therefore it was exactly 70 years. It was the night of Pesach. He took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and he celebrated. They looked at Jewish people, nothing has changed. There's no hope for them. And what happened? That night, Bavel was destroyed and Paras Modai came to power. Achashverosh should have learned from the mistake of Nebuchadnezzar. He should not have been confident that his calculation was correct. He made the same mistake. That's why it says Shoinim. It's the second time a fool took out the Kalim. The Kalim here, according to the Medrash, refers to the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the second time Shoinim, it was Lashon of Sheni, the second time a fool took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash and celebrated the Churban of Klal Yisrael.
She was an influence.
She can write. She was an influence in not allowing the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt.
And this sort of rubbing it in.
Everything in the party was to rub it in. Yeah.
The way he gets this from the Rebbe said that this was a chesed of Hashem that the Kalim was quite different. That the fact that they were different, that the Yidden should recognize these are the Kalim Beis HaMikdash, they should stay away from these particular Kalim. Kalim Shainim is a chesed.
They should not have an oath. At least to minimize the pleasure by recognizing that these kelim are also behana, they are kodesh. According to these were the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, v'yein malchus rof. So simply means harbe, there was no limit. This is a very mystical concept that everyone was given rof means the wine that you were given to drink was 1 year older than your age. Now, what is the significance of doing that? 1 year older to drink wine than if you're 80 years old, so you're going to get wine that's at least 81 years old. What does that mean exactly? So the wine existed on the world before you. It's connecting you. Yayin is something shadas zikenim noicha himenu. The older wine gets, the better it gets. A zakein misha kana chachma. The older a person gets, the older you get, the more your mind is miyusheves solav. So zikenim and yayin share in common. They share in common that they appreciate age. So when you give a person yayin that's even older, then it adds to that degree of satisfaction. Since anyway these two items have in common the quality that they get better with time, it's even a greater enhancement when the wine that's given to serve is older than your own personal age. Okay, obviously there are more things that has to do with that. This is a very important point. This party was a mishtayayin. And we'll see, he won't say here that he served food and there was more food than wine, but the primary focus of the party was a mishteyayin. That's why Purim, which we all know that Purim is a time when people chayiv adam liva sume bipudaya ad lo yoda. Yayin, the whole essence of Purim is a mishteyayin of today's generation. We all know that it's not such a good idea to drink too much wine, but mikra din, that's what it's all about. Why is that so? So there's a very similar reason. Because yayin is bigamatria 70. And everything that's happening over here at this party is to celebrate the fact that the nevuah of Yirmiyah did not come true. The nevuah was there's going to be 70 years after the Churban, Klal Yisrael will be redeemed. 70 years have passed. Achashverosh made a calculation. It's been 70 years since the Golus Yehonya. Nothing has changed. So therefore, we're going to make a Mishtei Yayin. The whole focus will be Yayin, because Yayin is 70 to rub it into the Jewish people. 70 years have passed and nothing has changed. You're still in Golus. You still will remain in Golus. Okay. Now let's see the Targum Pasuk Zayin, very quickly, whatever we can take out of this Targum. Ufaked la ashka o yason dimone de hava de beis makdisha. So immediately we learn a very important yesod. The Targum says that the kalim here are not ordinary kalim. They're called mishunim. They're unique. These were the kalim from the Beis Hamikdash. The Eisei Nebuchadnezzar Rashiyam in Yerushalayim that Nebuchadnezzar has captured. They were brought to Babel, and now Achashverosh has them in his possession. Umanaya Ocharan Yasa. Other kalim as well. In addition to the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, the other kalim, the Havu Leil Malka Achashverosh, Taman Havu Michalfin Dimusehon Hachavar. Each one was different than the other, whatever those words mean. Umin kadam monei beis makdesha ishteniu, and from they were different than the kelim of the beis hamikdash. Vahavish shasun chamar osis diyoei l'mishtei malkod de sagi rechei uvesim tamei v'lovi chesrano Elohim kimisas yodo de malkod. Okay, the wine he says was fragrant wine. So when he translates the word over here, v'yei malchus rov, it appears that he wants to focus on fragrance. It wasn't just one that had a good taste; it was one that had a good fragrance, and that also in hand explains a little bit more of the Machazal, Chayiv Adam Livasume Bipuraya. Why do we focus on besamim? We would not expect Chazal to use the expression of the word simply translates means to drink. But the word has a relationship to fragrance. So it means that it alludes to this targum, possibly, because here it translates the word Rav not like we learned. It says the sagi reche. It was in abundance. The Rav is, what's the significance of Rav? Rashi said two interpretations. It was abundant, or it was older than your age. Targum says the sagi reche uvisim tame. Okay, whole new interpretation. Rav is alluding to the fact that it had good fragrance and good taste, good fragrance. Okay. Now, before we go further, there's one important... Yeah? Yeah?
In wine terminology, they call it the bouquet.
The bouquet?
Okay.
That means that it has a good fragrance. They smell the wine.
You can smell the cork. Yeah, well, that's the wine.
You smell the cork, you can smell the wine.
Yeah. That's the smell.
By such people, that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
They've seen them.
Okay, that's what it says.
They're saying him.
Exactly. That's the rap. It was part of the experience. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Ches. V'hashashiyach hados ein oines. Okay, v'hashashiyach hados ein oines. The drinking was ein oines. You were not forced. There was no compulsion to drink the yayin. Now this, we don't relate to this, because in ancient times it appears that when you went to a mishta yayin, you were forced to drink wine, whether you like it or not. And if you couldn't hold your liquor, too bad for you. After the kach, that a person would die, so be it. This, like, I know today there are challenges, right? People, they go to bars, and they, whatever you drink, I drink. There's such a thing to this. I don't know what it's about, but there is such a thing that in ancient times, when you attend a mishta yayin, you don't have a choice. You have to drink a certain amount. This was a novelty that Achashverosh told the people there: if you don't want to drink, you don't have to drink. The wine here is just for you. The hashesiyah chados was according to the law. Now we'll see in a few moments. What does it mean according to the law? Okay, we'll see what this means in a moment. Einonis, they were not forced. Kichen yisad hamelch, this is what the king established. It was a new takan, it was a novelty. See, the word yisad is a foundation. This was something that was invented in the time of Achashverosh. Never before in the history of the world was there a mishta yayin where you were not forced to drink wine. It was a new yisoid. Like you say in learning, a certain Rosh Hashiva, he was mechadesh. It's a yisoid. The Ramban is full of the yisoides of yados. This type of concept where you don't have to drink was yisad. It was a novelty. I'll call Rabbeisa, Lasosa, upon all of the rabbis, upon all of the leaders, all the people who were the butlers of his palace, Lasos, Kirtzon, Ish, V'ish. Now, who were the people that advised him that the people should not have to drink the wine? Ish, V'ish, according to Chazal, refers to Mordechai and Haman. Both of them wanted that the Jewish people should be given the opportunity not to drink. for different reasons. Mordechai wanted because the wine is osser. The wine is Yayin Esach. And furthermore, if they're going to enjoy the wine, they're participating in celebrating their own destruction. That was Mordechai. So therefore, Mordechai advised Achashverosh, please don't force them to drink. And by not forcing them to drink, maybe some of them will not drink. They won't be Nichshol in Yayin Esach, and they won't be celebrating their own destruction. And that will lessen the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against the Jewish people for participating in this party. Haman also did not want the Jewish people to drink because Haman knew they would anyway drink. And if they would drink willingly, that would increase the aver. If they were forced to drink, then they would always have an excuse before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we were forced. Don't blame us. You're not mechuyev to give up your life over a cup of wine, so don't blame us, don't destroy us. But if no one's forcing you to drink, and on your own you decide to drink, oh, so now you're celebrating voluntarily your own downfall, this will certainly cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger to flare, and the Jewish people will be destroyed. So the Ish V'Ish here refers to Mordechai, Ish Yehudi Hayad B'Shushan HaMirah, Ish Tsar V'Oyev Haman Hara Hazeh. In the Megillah, we find both Mordechai and Haman are called the Ish. Ish, Ish V'Ish. Let's take a look over here at Pasuk in the Rashi first. Rashi Kedos, what does it mean, law? Now this is a very important word. This word is said by every married man. Harayat mikudeshesli betabas zo das Moshe v'Yisrael. Das means law. Law. What's the law? Lefi sheyesh udos shekoyf and esham mesubim lishtas kligel. There are some meals where they force the people to drink a very large kliv. Yesh in yachol lishtas oki and bekoshu with great difficulty. Avol kan ein ones. So that was a law. The law was enacted and it was established for the very first time that they do not have to drink. Now, according to the Medrash, the das means according to Jewish law. What do you mean according to Jewish law? There was more food served than liquor, than wine. Because we learned this from the Korbanos. In the Korbanos, you make a calculation of the mincha, we offer an animal, and we offer a mincha, and then we pour nisachim. Every korban has three parts. The meat, the bread, and the wine. The amount of meat and meal offering is much, much more in volume than the amount of wine that accompanies the korban. Here as well, at this party, it was according to Jewish law that for every cup of wine that was offered, there was more food offered to accompany that quantity of wine, volume of wine, because it appears that in other parties of Achashverosh and of the non-Jewish world, when there was a Mishtayayin, there was no food served. It was just champagne. Right? You go for drinks after the lecture. You go down to the reception area and everyone is served champagne. There's nothing to eat. That's not kedas shel Torah. The das of Torah is every drink must be accompanied by food. And we learn what? I guess not. And we learn that from the korbanos, that every korban, the amount of wine that was poured on the mizbech was always accompanied by meat and by bread, a mincha and a zevach. So here it says kedas das according to measurements kedas shel Torah, like the law of the Torah. Next words of Rashi. Yisad means Lashon Yisod, it was established. Kolemar Kein Tikin Nitziva, he established this law for the very first time. This was a novelty of the time. Al Kol Rabbe So, what does it mean, the Rabbe So? Al Kol Sore HaSeuda Sar HaOifim V'Sar HaTabachim V'Sar HaMashkim. This is what he commanded upon all of the people in charge of the meal. The people who bake, the people who served the meat, and the people that would serve the mashkim. No one is what? No one is forced to lasos kirtzon ish v'ish l'chol echad v'echad kirtzonu. Similar means according to each person, according to what he wants. Okay, let's see the Targum. Before we conclude, just see the Targum, just to finish up pasuk ches, what we can extract from the Targum. V'shakusa ki hilchasa minhag gufa. The drinking was according to kehilchasa, Minha gufa. I don't know what this means. Velesta anis, according to a personal, I think it means according to a personal,
right.
Personal custom.
Right.
Each personal custom. Veles da anis, no one was forced. Veles da anis, arumi kain song to a malka. This was the te'im. I guess this means the law, the advice of the king. Al kol de ismano apit repos al beisa. He gave this command to anyone that was appointed as an officer in his house. Lemevad kirusa, to do the will. Gavra bar Yisrael uchurus gavar min kol uma v'lishan. So the Targum translates this: ish for ish means Jew and non-Jew. Whatever the custom is, Jews have their own customs and non-Jews have their own customs. Let them follow their customs. Okay. Pasuk Tes begins with Vashti. That will leave Mirtz Hashem for tomorrow.